Shanti and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Electro Steel Castings Limited hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain, AVP from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Electro Steel Castings Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter of the financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have here with us Mr. Sivalai Senthilnathan, Vice President, Finance and Corporate Affairs, Mr. V.M. Sridharan, Senior General Manager of Finance, Mr. Nilesh Daga, General Manager of Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Gaurav Somani, Joint General Manager of Finance. Without any further delay, I will hand over to Mr. Sivalai Senthilnathan for his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you for one question. Good evening, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you to this earnings conference call for the second quarter of financial year 2023. Let me first take you through the financial performance for the second quarter and then half year of our company on a standalone basis. The total income for the quarter stood at Rs. 1,725 crores, an increase of about 59% year on year. EBITDA reported was Rs. 177 crores, an increment of about 32% year on year, with the EBITDA margin at 10.24%. Net profit after tax reported was Rs. 64 crores, an increase of approximately 18% year on year basis, while the PAT margin stood at about 4%. The revenue in H1 FY23 stood at Rs. 3,476 crores, an increase of 65% year-on-year. EBITDA reported was Rs. 402 crores, an increment of about 41% year-on-year basis, while EBITDA margin stood at 11.57%. Net profit after tax for H1 FY23 stood at Rs. 168 crores, which grew about 56% year-on-year basis. PAT margin stood at 4.84%. On the operational front, the company has achieved nearly 100% of its capacity utilization in ductile iron pipe. In the second quarter, ductile iron pipe sales volume have increased by 34% to 166,875 tons year-on-year, while it grew 28% to 324,793 tons year-on-year in the first half of 2023. The company's board of directors has approved raising about 115 crores through a preferential issue of warrants or any other instruments. With this, we can now open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. First question is from the line of Kamlesh Vagmar from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So one question on the part of your increase in intercorporate deposits. Like say it's around 172 crore in this particular quarter or first half. Why such a sharp increase in the intercorporate deposits despite the fact that we have a huge borrowings on the balance sheet and based on our annual report for the last year, we are just getting 7% interest rate on that. Rather than that, we can easily repay the debt or fund the working capital.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for your query. So we have a total ICD investment of around 225 crores as on date. And this is out of the cash surplus that the company has. On the debt front, the borrowing are on two parts. One is long-term and short-term. So all the short-term borrowings is more towards working capital. And if you see from FY22, that is March 22, and as on September 22, you will notice that the overall borrowing has not increased in spite of working capital investment has gone up. So we have also used our internal accrual funds towards working capital and have not taken additional borrowing for that. Our interest rates have gone up to some extent from March because of the interest rate movements. And this investments that we have in ICDs are very temporary in nature. There is a short-term parking that we did in the first half. And we can withdraw any moment.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but that can anyway be, like, say, I would suggest that that can be plowed back to the investors because they are hardly yielding any return. And you can expand on the expansion because the way the capacities in DI are coming, like, say, all the players are adding capacity. We can rather invest on those.
We have, sorry to interrupt, but we have expansion already going on.
Sir, as rightly pointed out by Mr. Gaurav Samani, these are short term. And, you know, as the rates are going up, we get good return in ICD. And, you know, these are all payable and demand. Tomorrow I require the money, I demand it, I get it. So there is nothing, you know, these are all temporarily parking. So it is not that, you know, I take this money and repay the debt. It is not possible like that, sir. That is the reason, and you know, we have to have a match of all that, you know, ICDs, fixed deposits, mutual funds, everything, so that the overall return is good. That is the purpose.
Just to add, we have around 400 crores of CapEx, which has already begun in our southern unit near Tirupati, that is Srikalahasti, where we are increasing the capacity of DI pipes, and we are also increasing the capacity of ancillary backward requirements. So there we will have the capex requirement coming up, the funding requirement coming up in next couple of quarters. The expansion work has already begun. We have already placed the orders for equipments. So it will be primarily funded out of internal accruals and the cash generation. So once the fund requirement comes up there, we will start using these funds.
We would be more happy if that money is parked into the mutual funds. That's a suggestion.
Yeah, we have a mix of all the investments. We have some money parked in fixed deposits, some in mutual funds also, and some in ICD. So we have a basket of all the investments.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. Sir, firstly, if you could share the H1 production and sales number.
Sure. Our H1 DI pipe production was around 344,000 tons.
Okay.
And sales was around 325,000 tons.
Okay. And sir, what should we look forward for H2 in terms of, we were informed that we are running at 100%.
Yeah, so the capacity utilization is at 100%, and in our industry, H2 is generally better than H1. We definitely expect our sales volume to go up in H2 compared to H1. This has been the past trend. We have delivered better in terms of volumes in H2.
Okay. Sir, do you have the last year H2 volume number, sir?
Last year H2 volumes, just a second. Last year in terms of sales, we did around 342,000 tons.
342. So we are looking forward for anywhere northward of 342 for H2.
Yes, our target is that only.
Okay. So when we look at the cash flow part, we find these two line items of fair valuation of derivative instrument through P&L of 29.34 crore and unrealized foreign exchange fluctuation and transaction of 29.32 crore. If you could explain to us, sir, what is the nature of the same, since they have impacted the profitability to, I think, so 1 rupee EPS have been gained out of these two transactions only.
Yeah, so let me clarify that there is a formula error here. One is a positive figure and one would be a negative figure. So impact would be nil. So the first figure is 29.34 crores. It is the Forex MTM gain that we have. And second one is the realignment loss. So ultimately, if you do the mathematics, it will be zero. So the profit is not getting impacted of this numbers.
Okay. Because in the cash flow part, we have mentioned both these items.
That is a formula error. So the correction that what I've told you is it would be neutral.
And then we should revise it, sir, and then publish a separate pair of speech. This is giving a wrong message, if that is the case.
Done. I'll take it. I'll take this matter up with the team. Yeah.
Yes, and this is wrong. This is also wrong restatement of account also. When investors will find it very difficult, if there is a mistake, one should revisit it and revise statement ka hamare paas provision rehta hai.
Sure, we'll take this up.
And looking into, sir, the order booking part, sir, how is our order book currently?
So we have a healthy order book in terms of months. We are sitting on an order book of around 6 months. Till previous quarter, our order book was around 4 months. Now we have gone up to 6 months.
Okay. And sir, if you could give some more color on in terms of the EBITDA margins, which we may expect, or the trajectory likelihood for H2.
As mentioned in my earlier calls also, see, EBITDA margins is a difficult parameter. As you would understand that when the raw material prices starts going up, the realization also starts moving up. And our contribution or EBITDA per ton is more or less what we try is to maintain the EBITDA per ton. So if you go for margins, you will find a dip when the prices are high. And when the prices are low, you will find that the EBITDA margins are on an upward direction. If you look from the EBITDA per ton purview, you will find that Q2 EBITDA per ton is in line with what we did in previous year. Compared to Q1, the EBITDA per ton was lower, but it was well within what we had estimated. Going forward, our target would be to maintain this EBITDA per ton, and we are very confident that we'll be able to maintain because raw material prices have started coming down. Coking coal prices, which was very volatile somewhere around May-June, has kind of stabilized in Q2, and it is around $300. I don't know, prices are also stable only. And since we have a healthy order book, we feel that Q3, Q4 would be definitely better for us.
Right. On the coal compensation front, sir, any update or a near-term date? Do you have anything to share on that?
No, Sajidji, there is not much update on it. What I mentioned in the earlier quarter, the status is same.
Correct, sir. And so we look forward this for the press release part, sir. Kindly look into our request for press release and investor presentation also
that will suffice a lot of our questions and queries going ahead. Kindly,
yes, this time we have uploaded the investor presentation and press release as well. I'll take it up again.
Okay, sir. And lastly, sir, as the earlier participant also mentioned, this ICD part, also we know that the management is credible, you are taking the due diligence, everything is in perfect shape. But ICD are not looked in the right eye by investing community. So give or take a percent or 1% gain, we are falling. It's a red tick that happens whenever ICD comes into play. That's my understanding of how we look at companies going for this ICD part. So if the management thinks that they can avoid this ICD issue altogether, just for the understanding from investor point of view, please look into the same of avoiding these exposures in terms of ICD.
Sajid is generalizing the concept. We have been placing ICDs in previous years also, in Kala STS also. You have been seeing it, and these are two names we know, and it's not a very significant portion. We are, as I said, we are maintaining our investments in a basket, and these are temporary funds, short-term funds. Majorly, you'll find that these funds will get used towards our capex, which we are doing, and in the past also we have used the funds in our capex. So this is just a temporary parking of funds, nothing more than that.
Correct, sir. So lastly, what is the combined capacity currently, and how much it will go up going ahead?
Combined capacity is 7 lakh tons.
7 lakh. And it will go up by 1 lakh?
1 to 1.5. Because we are having some debottlenecking exercise going on in our eastern unit also. So once completed, we should be at around 8.5 approximately.
Okay, and what is the capex involved in this?
Would be around 500 crores approximately.
500 crores. And current cost of fund for us?
Current cost of funds, it has gone up now. So because of the increase in the repo rates, our current cost would be around 8.5%.
8.5. And the breakup, sir, long-term and short-term borrowing?
Long-term and short-term borrowing, long-term would be around 1,050 crores and short-term would be around 1,700 crores. This is at gross level.
The total debt is a gross debt number, and the net debt number?
Net debt would be around 2,350 crores.
2,350.
Correct.
And for March, what should we look for the target, March 23?
March 23, I think it would be lower than this.
350 crores. Okay.
Yes.
Right. So we'll look forward for this explanation of this this formula part to be well addressed so that investors have the right correct picture. And sure. Thank you for the answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. But the next question is from the line of Ankit Puri, retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask, what impact do we see with the starting and ramping up of the 400,000 Wellspun corporate DI plant? And also if you can throw some light on the overall market size and opportunity going forward. Thank you.
So yes, Wellspun has recently started its plant, June or July. And they are, I think, situated in the western part of the country. So we are catering more towards the eastern part, the northern part, the southern part, and the central part. And we are also present in export market. So for most of the players, the areas of service are segmented because DI pipes are bulky in nature.
So it is not feasible to transport from one end of the country to another part of the country. As far as demand is concerned, we have been witnessing robust demand because the industry that we are present into, fortunately, the demand has been growing because most of the households, they don't have a proper connection of tap water. And the schemes which have been launched by government, that is Jal Jeevan Mission, to connect each and every household by 2024 has been progressing well. A lot of demand has been generating. This is a new demand which has been coming in. We are not seeing the replacement demand as of now. And going forward, this is expected to continue for 3-4 years more. Then you have the regular demand also. This is a specific scheme which has been launched by central government. Then you have statewide schemes as well. And in future, we'll also see demand coming in from the irrigation sector. So as far as demand is concerned, there is a good demand and there are a few recognized players. It's not a fragmented industry. So we don't foresee new competition as a threat.
And to add what Gaurav said, see, what is happening is, as he rightly said, we are only talking of the Jal Jeevan. But you will also appreciate, you know, the cities are extending. I mean, the towns are extending, villages are extending. So the, you know, demand apart from this Jal Jeevan also will be there. And we don't generally foresee any problem as far as the demand of the pipes are concerned. And as he rightly said, the multiple uses of the pipes. Earlier it was for sewage and water, and now it is also using irrigation, and something else will also come up. So we don't foresee any problem in making up demand or whatever produce we are selling it. That has been our experience. Thank you.
Thanks for that. And what about the export markets as well? If you can throw some light on that as well, especially with regards to the war situation, how is it affecting our sales, and are we planning to ramp up our exports as discussed earlier?
We have been present into exports since long, so almost 2 decades, and we are servicing almost all the countries across the globe, majorly towards Europe and Middle East. Now, this year we have significantly grown into US. We had entered into US around maybe 6-7 years back, but this year we are encashing the benefits. For us, the markets are doing good. It's stable, and we have been getting good business. We have not seen any significant impact because of the war in Europe, but it will be difficult to, you know, give any comment going forward since this is an essential commodity and, you know, of a very primary use. So we feel that this will not see any slowdown in the demand. This is a basic necessity. So, I mean, we are seeing a stable kind of demand coming in from exports.
All right. Thank you for that. And lastly, do you have any plans to come out with a rights issue for raising funds as well for minority shareholders?
Ankit, difficult to comment on that. It is a management decision. So it will not be possible for us to comment on that.
Appreciate if you can share the same with the management. If they have any plans to do that, that will be well appreciated amongst everyone.
Sure, we'll place your remarks. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roa Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the current condition, both iron ore and coking coal costs are stabilizing for us, and the volumes are also expected to increase. So ideally, your margin should be improving, while you are saying the current quarter margin should be maintained. So am I missing here something?
No. See, what I said is, to summarize, the coking coal prices and iron ore prices have started stabilizing from end of Q2 and Q3 onwards. And our focus is more towards maintaining the EBITDA per ton, not the margins. Margins will give a wrong picture in times when the prices are volatile, when the raw material prices are volatile. So if the raw material prices moves up from 100 to 150, simultaneously the realizations will also move up. And effectively the margins will appear to be down. But in absolute terms, we'll be able to maintain our profitability. So my idea is that our focus is to maintain our absolute EBITDA that we have been generating. and improve it. This is the volume that is increasing. I hope I've been able to convey.
Yes, sir. So my question is, your EBITDA pattern was somewhere around 9,000 plus in Q2, and it was higher in the Q1. So can we say this 9,000 plus will be maintained, or you are referring to 12,000 number or average of both? Can you clarify?
So I think it will be better than this. 10,000, we did around 10,000 Q2. Q3, Q4 will be better than this.
Sir, we would appreciate that, as you rightly said, our endeavor is to maintain the same EBITDA. But, you know, there are so many forces. So beyond the level forward-looking statements also, I am afraid we will not be able to make it. But our intention is, our target, our focus is to maintain the EBITDA or excel bandwidth. I think I have explained you.
Okay, sir. Okay, understood. And, sir, on the coking coal cost, can you specify what was our coking coal cost in Q2 on an average, and what would it be currently? Any ballpark numbers will be fine.
In Q2, average rate was around $450. And at present, the average coking coal price is around $300.
Okay. So these are the numbers at which we are buying, or these are the market numbers you are specifying, sir?
We are importing coking coal, so these are basically the market numbers.
Market numbers.
And our buying is close to these levels only, because these are index numbers.
Close to these numbers only. Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, what was the sales volume in the ferroalloy segment for us in the Q2?
In the ferroalloy segment in Q2, we did around 6,500 tons.
Okay, and Q1 should be in the similar number or plus minus?
Yes, Q1 also around 6,500 tons.
Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Reminder to the participants to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from MUGI Constructions Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, my question is, what is the percentage of our sale comes from Europe?
Percentage of sales from Europe would be around
7 to 8% of total sales.
And what is the percentage of sale from export?
Export would be around 25%.
25%. And so the margin is better in domestic market or is in the export market?
It is better in the export market.
In the export market?
Yes.
Okay, sir. And is there any impact on export in Europe because of the recession?
Not as of now, sir. Till first half, we have not seen any significant impact. The business has been stable only.
And in the second half, sir, whether we will see some negative sale growth in the European market?
So very difficult to comment because all this is new for everyone. So we will not be able to give you any clear picture on it. As far as our business is concerned and orders are concerned, we have stable orders. We are doing regular supplies. So as of now, the business has been stable.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the line.
Yes, you can continue now. Thank you.
Yeah. And sir, we are expanding our capacity by 1.5 lakh tons. So since the outlook looks very robust, so whether we can expect to expand more after this expansion?
So we are also very optimistic. And that is why if you previous 4-5 years, you will notice that we have done significant expansions, and we were around maybe 5 lakh tons around 5 years back, and today we are sitting at around 7 lakh tons and we are looking at 8.5 lakh tons. Once this is completed then definitely the management would look for further expansions once this expansion stabilizes.
So when we can expect this expansion to get completed, sir?
this is expected to be completed by next calendar year.
Next calendar year. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a small point to understand. You mentioned about this cash flow part, the formula being incorrect, sir. Is that the right understanding, sir?
Correct. So the figure which is 2932.68, which is a positive figure, it should have been a negative figure.
Okay. If we do that back calculation there, sir, then the total figure of 9031.64 total should also be then incorrect, and then the operating profit before working capital should also be not be 359 crore. Is that understanding correct, sir? Because then the entire every line item will change.
Not every line item, 2-3 line items would change. Your cash generated from operations would come down to minus 3864.
It will come down to minus?
3864. Cash generated from operations.
No, I was just looking for the operating profit before working capital changes. That shows a positive of 359 crores.
Operating profit before working capital changes would be 398 crores.
It will increase, sir.
Yes, it has increased. It is 398 crores.
Okay. Sir, I will take it off and sir, I could not understand. I mean, I'm unable to figure out how will this happen. But anyway, if you file the revised one, we'll get better understanding. Sir, and also, sir, on the outlook for this raw material part, sir, I missed your comment on the same, that you were commenting that the raw material prices have now corrected, and the benefit of the same will be felt in the coming quarters.
I'm giving you the present status. The prices have stabilized. Coal prices are around $300.
No, sir. The consumption rate was higher for Q2, and now going at Q3, we are going to see a dip in the same.
Correct.
Okay. And sir, on the DI pipe realization front, has there been a dip in the realization also, or we will get some lag effect benefit since we have booked orders earlier at higher prices?
So our realizations have been stable. We expect Q3 to be better.
Q3 to be better. Right, sir. Because a very small point was, sir, that on a Q-on-Q basis, there was a dent of 50 crores, June to September. So how much was attributable only to the raw material part to it, the higher raw material prices? Because I think so the volumes were similar, more or less, for Q1 and Q2?
No, Q2 volumes have been better than Q1. In fact,
better than Q1. Then also, sir, we have seen this big delta of 50 crore.
Correct. So it's primarily on account of the raw material prices, and which is because of coking coal prices. Coking coal prices were very, very volatile during the month of May and June. It went up to $650. So that was a very abnormal situation, because of which, the profitability got impacted.
Okay.
In spite of that, if you see, year on year, the numbers have grown.
Yes, sir. The year numbers are good, but quarter on quarter, we only wanted to understand this quarterly dent, how much will be reversed going ahead and will return to the normal profitability range. I think so. Last year, sir, our H2 was much stronger, and we did, I think so, around above 260-270 crore EBITDA PBT number. So that was only my understanding, just to shape up how the EBITDA would be shaping up if depending upon the current RM basket.
Our initial feeling is that H2, this H2 should be in line with previous H2.
Previous H2. Okay, sir. I'll take the clarification offline, sir. And thank you for all the candid answers. No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Falke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, what is our export realization in Q2 and first half of the year, and any indicative EBITDA per ton in our export markets?
Well, I'll not be able to give you specific numbers, but our export realizations were significantly higher than the domestic realizations.
In percentage terms, sir, if you can indicate how higher it is?
In percentage terms, See, it would be higher by around 15 to 20%.
Okay.
Maybe 15%, not 20%, 15%. But that does not completely flow down to the bottom line, because in case of exports, the cost is also higher than the domestic cost.
Okay, okay. And when we say, let's say, if you have to compare EBITDA per ton of domestic versus exports, the similar impact, if you can quantify it in percentage terms, 10%, 15% higher compared to domestic?
Compared to domestic, it would be higher by around 3,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. So this gap is being maintained despite the volatility in the prices. So this 3,000-4,000 rupees per ton incremental EBITDA per ton is being maintained, right?
Yeah, we continue to generate that. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now outlook remains similar, because I think in earlier comment you just mentioned that our exports to U.S. are finally seeing some traction. So just wanted to understand, if we export more to the U.S. markets, will it be margin accretive? Is it a higher margin market per se?
No, the challenge for us is we also have to maintain the domestic, market share. So we cannot push on the, certain extent to exports.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing is we are compromising on some other regions. We are compromising on some other low-cost orders and fulfilling the better priced orders. So U.S. this time we had a better opportunity, so we focused more there, and we compromised on some other regions.
Okay, okay. So in absolute terms, let's say compared to FY22, will we see our exports going up, or exports will remain flat, and only we are just rerouting our exports from one market to another market, and net export amounts will or the volume will remain flat? Is that the correct understanding then?
Volumes would more or less be flat, but in absolute terms, the value will increase because of higher realizations and the currency also, because the currency has depreciated. So we'll have, in absolute terms, it will increase.
Okay, but the volumes will be flat?
More or less similar to what we did.
Okay, but going forward, sir, next to next year, when the new capacities come up, do we plan to export more, or we will stick to the same strategy that we will retain our domestic market share and exports will continue?
No, gradually we would try to increase our exports by around 20-25-30%.
Okay. 25-30% of the overall volumes. That's what we intend to export.
Correct.
Okay, okay. And also, sir, I think from what we understand, most of our revenues are coming from the 700 millimeter diameter pipes. So, is the market moving towards large diameter pipes in India? Because I think that's what has happened in China and other countries as well. And is it margin accretive as if we move towards large diameter pipes in the longer run?
I would not like to comment on this specifically, because we are producing of sizes of all diameters ranging from 100 to 1200 mm. And demand is flowing in for all the pipes. It depends more towards where the pipe is intended to be used. If it is more towards the end use, the diameter would be lower. And if it is more towards the supply zone, the diameters would be higher. So demand that is coming in, it is a mix of all the diameters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. But incrementally, what do you see, sir, trend-wise? Is the...
Chetan Palki, may we request to please rejoin the group for follow-up questions? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, we request you to please limit your questions up to two. We move to the next question from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So this 115 crore fundraising you are planning, will it be entirely from promoters?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Goel from Shivansh Overseas. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is, sir, I just want to ask, there is some petition is filed by your company in the High Court. Can you just put some light on that? Like after how much time that amount will be refunded, and what is the update on the case?
So I think you're talking about the coking coal mine compensation. So, see, this mine was deallocated in 2015, and we are still waiting for the compensation to come in. Matter is in Delhi High Court. Delhi High Court has already given their order in sometime in March 2017, and had directed the Ministry of Coal to expedite and clear the due. But we don't have a significant update on it. We have been pursuing with the ministry for releasing our compensation and have been submitting all the required information that they have been demanding from us. All we understand is that our claim is a genuine one, and we should get paid what we have claimed. When it would come, we also don't have answer to that.
And sir, what is the amount you have claimed?
Our claim is around 1500 crores.
Okay. And secondly, sir, I just want to ask you, what is your trade receivable?
Sorry?
What are your trade receivables?
Our trade receivables as on 30th September, it was around 1250 crores.
That has been increased from previous quarter.
Yes, it has increased from previous quarter.
Okay.
It is because of higher sales. The sales have gone up.
Higher?
The sales have gone up.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from MUGI Constructions Private Limited. Please go ahead.
What is the reason for sudden jump in the interest cost?
Interest costs have increased up globally. If you see RBI, the central bank has increased the repo rate by around 2% this year. So in line with that, the banks have also increased the rates. And we have been trying to use the low-cost funds as far as possible. So for us, the interest rate has not gone up to that extent, but the interest rates are on the higher side.
No, it has increased substantially compared to last year.
Correct, sir. Because the interest cost has gone up, interest rate has gone up.
So our loan fund is remains same. The because of the higher rate of interest, our interest cost has gone up.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Valke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, since raw material prices have come down, what will be the impact on our working capital? How much working capital will get released in the second half? Can we quantify the expected release of the working capital?
We will see cooling off. The working capital should reduce, but it will happen only towards the end of Q4.
Mm-hmm.
Not immediately.
Okay. But any expected quantum? Let's say assuming iron ore prices and coking coal prices, they remain at the current level?
So we'll definitely see a drop in the working capital. But how much, I'll not be able to give you a clear figure on that. But definitely it will come.
Okay, okay. Yeah, sir, few quarters back, one of our competitors have given a commentary on their call that they think that the pricing power in DI pipes industry can eventually come back because the demand is very strong and the pipeline looks robust. So do we see any signs of pricing coming back, or is it still highly intense or bidding driven market and the realizations are under pressure? Or how, if you can just give us some color on the current scenario on the pricing front.
So, sir, in our industry, see, there are many factors which are driving the margins. So, the demand side has been robust over the last many years. And going forward also, we see a very robust demand because DI pipes is the best suited pipe for transportation of drinking water. Then the profitability also depends on the raw material prices. So, raw material prices generally, they were volatile for a couple of months. Now they are stabilizing. In terms of our operations, in terms of our production capabilities, we have been operating at nearly 100%. And we have been doing expansions from time to time. along with that, we have also done backward integrations from time to time to improve our margins. So all in all, I don't know about the pricing power, and I would not like to comment on that. But we foresee a very good future for our business and for our company. Our balance sheet has also strengthened, and we are seeing good demand.
Okay, okay. Basically, I just wanted to understand if there is some sense on, let's say, the pricing discipline which is coming back in the industry, or the competitiveness continues to remain high. That's it. Hello.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sir, just one last question from my end. Do we see a market for, I mean, can DI pipes be used in gas transportation as well? And I think in one of your comments during the call, you mentioned that in agri and sewerage, the demand will come up eventually. So is it already play out, or will it play out like few years down the line? Do we see some traction in agri and sewerage as well already, year over year or quarter over quarter?
So sewerage, it is already there, but the new demand is coming in from the irrigation channel.
Mm-hmm.
So irrigation is a new avenue for the demands, because till now in India, the irrigation has been happening through open canals. So gradually states are moving to pipes. For gas, I am not sure, but to the best of my knowledge, maybe my other colleagues would be able to add. To the best of my knowledge, for gas, I think these pipes are not very suitable. It's MS pipes, or maybe steel pipes are more suitable for gas.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I thought now the system
is
used for water and the sewage.
Okay, okay. And can we quantify what percentage of our volumes are going into agri and sewerage? Any indicative number? Is it still in low single digits or already in double digits?
No, so it's in very nascent stages.
Okay.
Irrigation is a very new demand, and very few states, 2-3 states, have started placing orders for, pipes for irrigation.
Okay. Any particular states, sir? Which states have started this usage of DI pipes for agri?
Orissa MP, mainly.
Orissa and MP. And do you see any other states opening up very soon, this year or next year?
I'll not be able to specify names, not possible. But going forward, definitely all the states will start, placing orders for irrigation for DI pipes.
Okay, okay. All right, sir. That's it for my end. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for actively participating in this conference call. I take this opportunity to thank the Valorem team and Chorus team for conducting this conference very effectively. I thank you all once again. Thank you all.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Electro Steel Castings Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.